Ladies and gentlemen, this is the captain speaking. For this flight, you'll need to check your weapons, take your seats, and say your prayers. We're getting airborne as Caged In continues on this all-new episode of Totally 80s and 90s Recall. Hello and welcome to Totally 80s and 90s Recall, a podcast where we take a look at everything from music and movies to television and pop culture, injecting our unique opinions and providing some awesome memories, fun, and nostalgia along the way. If you're new to the show, we're so excited that you found us, and for our returning listeners and subscribers, it's great to have you back. I am one of your hosts, David, joined as always by a man who also loves Cool Ranch Doritos, my good friend Rob.
I do like Cool Ranch Doritos. You know me well. Hey, my emotions today would best be expressed through a monologue.
Of course.
From Billy Madison. What you're about to hear might be some of the most insanely idiotic things you will ever have heard. At no point in our rambling, incoherent responses will we come even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room and everyone listening right now may become dumber for having listened to it. We are awarded no points, and may God have mercy on our souls.
I like it.
Nice.
I think that fits perfectly, and thank you for that. Also helping us make everyone dumber, back again, our guest host, fellow Caged In junkie, welcome back, Kurt.
Hello, and thank you very much, gentlemen, for letting me be caged in once again.
He doesn't even know how to use his own equipment.
He's still slow on the buttons over there, Mr. Rob.
You know... Your only job is to push a couple buttons, and you're just not getting it done right now. So that's fine. He'll always go, I'll fix it in post.
That's right.
I don't know how, but he says. So, well, again, Rob, thanks for that great opening hello.
Oh,
anytime you can cite Billy Madison, that's a win for everybody. And if the fans don't already know, let's tell our fans what topic we'll be covering for part two of Caged In.
Caged In. Is that better?
Sounds good.
I was on it.
Nice work. That.
So today, part two of our Caged In trilogy, we'll be talking about Con Air.
Con Air.
Caged In.
Well, as you finally were able to convey to the audience, we're climbing aboard the summer blockbuster, Con Air. Is there any way that Nicolas Cage can top himself after the greatness that was The Rock?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I mean, say the question, could he top this?
Can he top The Rock with Con Air?
Oh, no.
Oh, wow, no.
Yeah, I don't know. This is a different, we were talking about it pre. This is a different take.
So, Kurt, like, let's examine this real quick. I said, could he top Con Air? Yes. And he goes, no.
What I meant
I don't know.
What I meant was like.
You're very indecisive.
Yeah, I am. This takes a weird turn.
Weird turn.
Always weird turns with Rock.
The Rock felt, I think we were talking about that, it felt like kind of a normal action movie. And then Con Air gets a little weird.
It doesn't get weird. Everything is great. And there's plenty of action.
It's not weird?
Okay. I don't think it's weird. All right. Do you think it's weird?
I do not think it's weird. In fact, I do think it got better just for the accent alone.
There you go.
We're going to talk about that, right? Are we going to spend some time talking about that?
He's an actor that's always growing.
Always growing. Got to evolve, right? You got to keep up with the times. That's why he's still in movies. He just had a movie come out.
Reinventing himself, yeah.
He's a vampire, so he keeps up with the times, right? He makes sure that...
I think he's out of bankruptcy now. So he can actually go back to making good real movies.
Making real movies?
Just trying to pay the bills.
Instead of anything that comes down the pipeline?
Yeah. To be fair, Pig was really weird.
But it was like really acclaimed.
It was.
Like his acting, and it was supposed to be really good. I never saw it.
So. Did you? Was it good?
It was good, but it was just not what I was expecting. It was not Con Air.
The name of the movie was... The name of the movie is Pig.
Yes.
Yeah.
What were you expecting?
And he has a pig, right? They kill his pig or something.
They kill his truffle pig.
Yeah.
And he goes crazy.
Did they just steal that from John Wick?
I mean, I'm pretty sure.
They kill his dog.
They killed the dog, but yeah. You know, don't mess with the pig.
That's funny. All right.
You mess with the pig less than John Wick's dog?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not sure about that. Okay. Well,
John Wick.
Well, and, oh my. Well, we're not talking about John Wick or his dog today. We're flying to freedom with just a few slight detours along the way as we head back to 1997 and find our seats aboard Con Air. So just like our last episode, we'll discuss the movie a little bit, have a little fun, and then fill in some categories, Rob, categories that we're going to fill in for Con Air.
Mm-hmm.
But first, let's get some details on this movie. It was released June 6, 1997. Stars Nicolas Cage, of course, John Malkovich, John Cusack, Steve Buscemi, Ving Rhames, and another whole host of character actors to include Dave Chappelle for some reason. This has a Rotten Tomatoes of 58% and an audience of 75%. Ooh. So popular with actual theater goers, directed by Simon West, produced by Jerry Bruckheimer. It made $224 million at the box office and received two Oscar nominations, if you can believe it, for Best Sound and Best Original Song, How Do I Live by Trisha Yearwood. Mm. It was the number one movie at the box office for 1 week and the 15th highest grossing film of 97, the 14th in front, in order, because I know you love this, Titanic,
okay.
Men in Black, Lost World, Jurassic Park, Liar Liar, Air Force One, get off my plane, mm-hmm. right? As Good as It Gets. Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope, they re-released it. My Best Friend's Wedding, Tomorrow Never Dies, James Bond. Face Off, Batman and Robin, Clutch Movie, and George of the Jungle. So it finished behind George of the Jungle, which is a great movie, so I can see that happening. So now that we know
what? Did you say George of the Jungle was a great movie?
You did say that.
Have you seen it?
I'd
Oscar-winning actor Brendan Fraser.
For a different movie.
But he's in that movie.
30 years later.
Well, now that we have all that very useful information, or not useful information, Rob.
None of this is useful.
Tell us what the heck Con Air is about.
All right. Cameron Poe, a highly decorated Army Ranger, comes home to Alabama to his wife, Trisha, only to run into a few drunken regulars at the bar where she works. Cameron accidentally kills one of the drunks and is sent to a federal penitentiary for involuntary manslaughter for 7 years. He becomes eligible for parole and can now go home to his wife and daughter. Unfortunately, Cameron has to share a prison airplane with some of the country's most dangerous criminals. His ride home, the Jailbird, which is also transporting society's vicious murders to Feltham Penitentiary, Louisiana's toughest maximum security prison. The crew takes control of the plane and are now planning to escape the country. The convicts manage to escape, directed by Cyrus the Virus, who also leads the plane's takeover and reroutes it to an abandoned airfield to catch another plane, which will take them to a foreign country. The DEA quickly learns of this event and plans on shooting the plane down. After the police and army are killed in an ambush at the airfield, the convicts take off again towards Las Vegas. While the officials on the ground want to blow the plane out of the sky, three people know the alternative: U.S. Marshal Vince Larkin, Cameron Poe's wife, and his daughter. Can Cameron Poe find a way to stop them before it's too late?
Well, that is an extensive description of the plot. So, Kurt, what is our Reader's Digest version of that?
The Reader's Digest version is guy gets sent to prison. He's going home now on a plane. Bad guys take it over, and the good guy that's still on the plane is trying to help bring it down safely without everyone getting killed.
And then wacky adventures ensue.
That's right.
Is that right? Okay. Well, now that we know the plot, I mean, who are we kidding? Everyone knows the plot of this movie. Let's get into Con Air. So this movie opens up showing Cameron Poe, Nicolas Cage, as a Army Ranger who's being, I'm assuming, discharged from the Army because they say he can go home now. And then he shows up in Birmingham, Alabama to see the wife and gets off a boat. So I don't know where he got out of the military. That looked like D.C. or some up north. Why is he on a boat? And Birmingham, Alabama is in the Gulf of Mexico. So did he go around Florida, come up on a... And he's on a fishing boat. Why is he on a boat? I don't understand why he's on a boat.
I don't know.
Or didn't he just drive home?
Is the town they're on an island? I don't know. Is that why they had to get off on a
boat? You said Birmingham. It's a coastal thing, but why is he on a fishing boat? I mean, was he helping Forrest get shrimp? I mean, what's happening here?
Well, maybe he didn't want to fly. Maybe he's got
an Army Ranger.
Maybe he's got a. That's true.
He's scared of flying.
That's kind of part of his. Yeah, that's true.
So I don't understand the boat thing. So all right. So
trauma or something.
So Cameron shows up And by the way, getting discharged from the Army, the wife didn't come get him. She doesn't meet him anywhere. Mm-hmm. He's been gone for how long? And then he just comes back to the bar, and she doesn't even look that excited to... Mm-hmm. By the way, is Monica Potter, she's the wife.
Yeah.
Is she a good actress in this? I don't know. I don't know if she's doing a good job here.
I don't know. She didn't have a chance. She didn't have a lot of screen time.
Her only lines are basically, Cameron, not again. Cameron, no. Don't do it again.
Yeah, she didn't have very many lines.
I'm assuming Cameron was just a hothead in his younger years.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what they're alluding to?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, he's a weapon.
He's a weapon.
He was a trained weapon.
Yeah. He's a weapon so. Now.
Hence the 10 years, well, which I have questions about that.
So like, let's...
It was self-defense.
I got it. We'll get to that. Okay. So let's start with Cameron Poe. First of all...
Crappy lord.
Kurt mentioned it earlier. Let's just head to the obvious. Mm-hmm. So he's sporting what is to be a Southern accent. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Nicolas Cage is quoted as saying he spent a good amount of time in Alabama so he could hear the dialect and get it down correctly. Mm-hmm. I've been in Alabama.
Do you feel like he got it
down
correctly?
I've been in Florida. I've been in Mississippi. And I don't know what that is. But it has nothing to do with Alabama or any of those places. It's kind of like he took a Cajun accent and mixed in some other stuff. But it's definitely its own version of I don't know what, actually.
It's
off.
Borderline Forrest Gump.
I thought so, too.
Really?
Yeah.
It's got some Forrest Gump in there.
Think so?
Yeah. Just the slow,
I could see him saying, you know, life is like a box of chocolate.
Saying that?
Yes.
All right.
I could totally. I don't know where it's from.
When he says, put the bunny back in the box. So I mean, it's very, very similar.
So in another universe, could Nick Cage have been Forrest Gump and Tom Hanks have been Cameron Poe?
It's interesting.
It's interesting. Why did you put the bunny back in the box? Right? Tom Hanks.
Another fantastic.
That's like Jimmy Stewart. Hello, your savings and loan?
It's supposed to be like more Tom Hanks-ish, but he's a little whinier than Nick Cage here. So okay, well, so accent aside, like you said, he gets in a fight protecting his wife. Mm-hmm. They pull a knife on him, then he kills the guy, and then he's sentenced to prison for... 7 or 8 years. Mm-hmm. I forget what it was. Yeah.
I think it was seven to ten.
Yeah. No. He's getting out on good behavior. And then we get the whole, once he goes to jail, of course, we get the whole sequence of him in prison writing letters back and forth with his daughter, which is quite the experience. So,
tie a ribbon around the old oak tree.
Well, and he's mentoring her on bullies.
Yeah.
Oh, that doesn't sound good, Casey. I don't know exactly what he's supposed to be doing there. But
yeah, there's that whole montage where he's going back.
And what is going on in this prison? He never leaves his cell. We don't need that, I guess. But at one point, he's laying in his cell and the rest of the jail's on fire. And
There was a prison riot.
And he's just laying in his bunk like nothing's going on. I think he puts his hands over his ears.
Yeah.
But like nothing else is going on around him. The whole jail's burning to the ground and Cameron just lays in bed. I think he's learning Spanish or something, right?
Yeah, he learned Spanish because they talked about we will have drinks on the beach or something like that. My wife margaritas and I will have margaritas on the deck or something like that. Yeah, no. Well, he didn't want to get in trouble. He's going to be on good behavior. He's going home.
Straight and narrow. It's just every other prison movie I've seen and or TV with Oz and those things. You don't get to just ignore stuff like that. The rest of the prison engulfs you in these things, and he just sits there like it's no big deal. So.
But those are fake, though.
I gotcha.
I mean, the fake rules.
Right? And if we're
I guess it's movie rules. So.
Well, and if we're tying in your Forrest Gump comparisons, Bubba shows up as Baby-O.
Oh, good his, call.
his new cellmate here.
Yeah.
He shows up to
he's got the diabetes.
Be his sidekick?
It's I guess he ate too many of those pink snowballs.
He did love those snowballs. He sure does love those snowballs, Baby-O.
No.
So, well, I think we had some pre-production work, and you were asking me a question about a person. So I have something to that written down, so I'm going to let you introduce that. I'm just going to start it with the director, Simon West. He was most famous before directing Con Air. In fact, Con Air was his first movie. He was most famous for doing music videos.
Okay.
And his most popular music video he directed was what, Kurt?
Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up.
Never Gonna Give You
Up. He's the reason people have been Rickrolled.
Rickrolled forever. He directed that. Okay. So I just like the idea that someone watched Never Gonna Give You Up and went, hey, do you want to direct this entire action movie starring all these A-list celebrities? Yeah, I got it. It's no problem.
That's right.
But Jerry Bruckheimer's back there, so whatever he ties his name to, that'll work. So you know that. You mentioned early in this, Cyrus the Virus.
Yes.
So it's a nickname. Mm-hmm. Does any movie have more nicknames than this movie? So I've got, obviously, Cyrus, Baby O, Diamond Dog, Billy Bedlam, Swamp Thing, who's flying the plane, Johnny 23, who'd be Johnny 600 if they really knew, Pinball, and Sally Can't Dance. That character is just so useless, I can't even explain. But, I mean, and then you're calling, with the amount of nicknames, there's just, it's just.
Well, they have a whole little segment as they're getting off the plane where John Cusack is just reading all their stats.
My thing is, he's reading them like they're baseball players.
Yeah.
Do people know? Yeah. They're like, oh my gosh, it's Diamond Dog.
Yeah. Well, even the other criminals know each other. Because when the green, Steve Buscemi, when he gets on the plane.
Garland Green, that's what it was.
Cyrus the Virus goes, oh, this should be interesting. So he knows, he obviously knows his stats. Like they know each other's, like they're keeping up with each other's.
I know, what are these? Yeah, are they trading baseball cards of killers? Billy Bedlam killed 50 people after.
Wait, I've killed 52.
52, yeah. I mean,
beat that.
It's just interesting. Except Swamp Thing. He's the pilot. Mm-hmm. He doesn't seem overly aggressive like the rest of them. He just wants to fly.
That's right. He just wants to
fly. He's a follower.
I don't know why he's there.
Or drive, because he drives later on.
He does drive later on.
He does.
He's kind of like a master of all
He knows how to disconnect a transponder.
Oh, yeah. And put it somewhere else.
Transponder,
is that the word?
I think it's a transponder.
I think I'm
saying it right.
That's how they could track down the plane. Yeah. So, another question. The agent that comes in, the guy who's played the agent Malloy, he's just angry from the start of this thing. He sees Cusack and immediately just I hate this guy. There's no dialogue. He just says hello to him in the car and he drives off. I don't understand I just don't understand the anger level of.
I do understand his anger a little bit, in the sense
immediately
that,
after.
Well, John Cusack's sandals make me mad.
His sandals are terrible.
Come on.
First of all, if Cusack makes a choice, that is a solid choice. He has earned the right to wear sandals.
No, he has
I'm
not.
Sure many air marshals.
I think
he's
with socks.
So
he's wearing sandals with socks.
I think in U.S. Marshals with Tommy Lee Jones, Tommy Lee Jones might be wearing sandals.
Tommy Lee Jones would not wear sandals with socks.
He did in The Fugitive when he said,
no,
I don't care. Or he had sandals on
he
in
would not.
The gutter.
Right he would slit his wrist first.
Well, that's a bit excessive.
Yeah. Sorry.
So I questions about John Cusack is, does he even want to be here? I mean, I'm watching.
No, it's right here in front of me. John Cusack has been quite open about the fact that he did Con Air purely for the money and doesn't like to reflect on the movie too much in interviews.
If you're watching him in the movie, it just feels like he doesn't even want to be here. Every scene is just painful for no reason.
And then there's a big long quote he has where he talks about he does these kind of movies just to pay for the movies he wants to do.
All right. You know, well,
pay for
good.
His high fidelity and whatnot.
Apparently he did one about he was a friendship between Hitler and it was called Max.
Oh, that sounds like a good one.
And it was like really high rated, really high or something. And so, but those are the ones he wants to do. So he does these side ones.
Was it a heady film?
I don't know. I never saw it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Not heady enough for
you. Assume it was a heady film.
No, he said you would think Con Air had anything to do with Max's 2002 movie, but in my career it does. It's doing Con Air or doing romantic comedies that makes Max possible. The bad stuff you just try to make as good as you can.
Yeah. Well, I've heard after this, Malkovich was not overly excited about his
role
in the movie either. Yeah. So even though Malkovich is great, I think, well, he had never really done movies like this.
Right.
He did kind of. Tried to be more like movies that made that were really good movies, but I think he saw this maybe as a possible way to break into a different genre or
But
something?
I think your analysis of our last one, The Rock, where you talked about Ed Harris, I think that's similar, that tracks a little bit with John Malkovich, where I wonder if he came on this and he was going.
There is no way. No, there's no way he thinks that. The simple scenario where he holds a stuffed animal up in the back of the plane and goes, "Don't move or the bunny gets it." No. He already knows this is garbage. Like you don't deliver that line going, "That's the Oscar." Put it on the trailer. True. Game over. Like that's happening.
From what I read, he was perturbed just simply because they kept changing the script on him. He's a guy that likes to know his script ahead of time.
Yes. Yeah.
And they just kept.
But why they keep changing the script?
Because Nick Cage can come up with some fantastic lines.
Didn't again, just like The Rock, he didn't follow the script at all. I do like the scenario that he finished filming The Rock, got on a plane like that night, and was on the set of Con Air that day. They did a new wig, and then he pulled the accent in, and Cameron Poe'd it up right from there. But he, hardest working man in Hollywood, right? Nick Cage. He didn't follow the script at all. Ad-libbing left and right. And like the bunny was his idea. Mm-hmm. The bunny wasn't even in the script. And then they're like, I guess we're going with this now. So that's what's happening. Mm-hmm. So.
And as I read about Cyrus, I heard that Mickey Rourke actually auditioned for Cyrus. But he freaked everybody out because he pulled out a real Bowie knife during the audition.
That makes sense.
So he did not get the role.
What? That's awesome. Mickey Rourke doesn't do crazy things. No. That would be impossible. You're sitting in there and they're like, oh, I like your fake knife. That's not a knife.
Yeah.
Right, Rob? No, there you go. Man. All right, so, when we're looking at the movie, too, once they're on the plane, so you get these who's who put on the plane. Mm-hmm. They take over the plane. Their plan to take the plane over is to set a guy on fire. So Dave Chappelle sets a guy on fire. Is that the best plan on an airplane?
The Last Mohican is burning.
I see that, yeah.
There's some
people
thing.
Might have some questions about that.
There's a few lines right in that little section. I'm like, I don't know about that.
I don't know if 2023 that doesn't fly.
No,
1996, The Last Mohican can burn. Now, not going to happen.
He made a comment about scalp. I think he was going to get scalped or something.
I think it's really odd.
That's Dave Chappelle.
I think it's odd. Malkovich's whole plan to take this plane over relies 100% on Dave Chappelle executing something perfectly. This is the half-baked guy, and this is what we're going for, right?
That's right.
The Last Mohican is The Last Mohican is burning, man. Yeah. That's my anyway. Sorry.
Okay. That was your favorite.
Sorry, everybody.
No, it's fine.
Everybody's going to call in.
It's all right.
Yeah. I didn't use the word midget.
You said someone's going to call in.
Wasn't talking about midgets.
Did he say someone's going to call in? We've literally never had a call. But yes, this will force.
We get calls all the time.
Oh, okay. We do.
I will be calling.
Yeah. Our PR department is freaking out right now.
I don't think the plan of setting a guy on fire as the distraction. I think there's 100 other ways to distract people than once you're airborne to set it on fire. But that's fine. And he's not picking up the pilot Swamp Thing till later. But he's ready to shoot that guy in the back of the head, and then I don't know who's flying this plane after that, but Malkovich is pretty serious about everything he's doing. So,
He's very calculated. He knows what he's doing.
I tell you, one of my favorite scenes is when Cage gets off the bus to get on the plane. Like it's like the first time he's been in the sun in like years or something, because he gets that smile to the sky and
takes it in.
What does he tell that guy, take the picture? He goes, "I'm going to get that picture back."
Yeah. That's right.
That smile getting off the bus was something else. So
poor Baby-O though, when he got off the bus, he didn't get like the back of his baseball card red. It cut off right.
They're like, because Baby-O wasn't anybody. I don't even know what his crimes are.
He just had to get the do-rag off his head.
Either did Poe though. Poe just said, Larkin just said he's just catching a ride. He's a nobody.
He's a nobody. Yeah Poe.
He didn't get the treatment.
Well. Yeah.
He doesn't have the stats.
They thought Poe was a nobody, but he was not.
That's right.
He didn't a nobody. Have stats. So I do want to bring up, I'll bring it up later. So there's a confusing part, but we can talk about it later in the thing. Buscemi, you brought him up.
Yeah.
I got a question about Buscemi. So we land in this airfield.
Oh.
Buscemi wanders off the plane into a trailer park.
Yeah.
There's not another soul in this trailer park. Not another human even moving around.
Dude.
And he sits in the pool with this girl.
Yeah.
Girl has no parents.
It's the girl. I don't even think she's there. Is this an imagination? Oh. I think this is in his imagination.
Dude, that's in my notes.
A theory, yeah.
Yeah. I read that's in his imagination, right?
I can't understand. She sat there with him the whole time. Somebody would have heard them talking, something. and not one other human.
Uh-uh.
And you don't even see anybody walking around in the trailer park. Like,
no.
It's just the little girl in the pool.
Right.
So,
and nobody heard a plane crash?
No.
No.
Nobody came out to check?
Yeah, because how far did... He only walked like 15 feet from the plane.
It's a big old plane.
Yeah, it's the Jailbird.
And nobody...
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nothing.
Nobody came to check. You fellas okay?
You fellas all right?
Need anything?
We're fine. Well, you did have that one guy who was flying his little
he just ran.
Plane and he just ran away.
And he's still running at the end.
Still running in the desert, yes.
At the end.
Nobody wants to help him out. He just can't. So I also like when they land and they're trying to set up or they're trying to get ready to, I guess, get that other plane with the drug dealer.
Oh, yeah.
They see that the FBI is coming. And Diamond Dog, Ving Rhames, steps on top of a hill and goes, oh, we got about 10, 12 minutes. Like, he took a two-second look at a bunch of cars driving and knew exactly how long till they got to that point.
It's very
he
smart,
goes,
man.
They look like they're going about 65 miles per hour. I'm like, come on. What are we doing here?
Yeah, they do do a nice job, even on The Rock, that last scene where they're going to bomb. You know, they really do a nice job of elongating that scene, like making more time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they take a 3-second event and they split it over a 10-minute segment of the movie. Same thing. These cars are 2 minutes out, but we got 10 minutes.
I love when they're coming, Cyrus decides we're going to ambush the cops. And so he makes this little model on the ground and he goes, here's us, here's this. And that one guy goes, what's that? He goes, that's a rock.
He just moves it out.
Yeah. I'm like, when Malkovich gave that line, do you think he was like, what am I saying right here? This is a rock. Okay. But I mean, he had a lot of those. He had a lot of odd lines, I guess is the best way to say it.
And I guess, and I have criticisms of the SWAT team or whatever that was.
Oh, yeah. No, they were terrible.
I'm not a military strategist.
Doesn't matter.
But. If I got one way in.
No, they would have surrounded it and come in different angles.
Like, that's a kill box.
No, it's
and
awful.
We're like, oh, one way in. Let's just all go single file.
But don't worry, because Cusack jumps sandals and all into that dump truck.
Stupid sandals.
And runs right, or it was like a bulldozer or something, and he protected them. Yeah,
I do have
first
to give.
First, he had to hotwire it.
He did have to hotwire
that's
it.
True. I do have to give the creators of the movie credit, because one thing that I found that I thought was interesting is that there's a scene where, okay, so then it blows up. He gets blown back or whatever. Then later in the scene, he gets his cell phone to make a phone call, and his cell phone's melted. So they had the wherewithal to, you know, put enough detail in it to melt his cell phone. I'm like, oh, that's
they
good.
They didn't burn him at all.
So they had the wherewithal to do that,
yeah.
But they didn't realize that a plane can't take off towing a car, and it just...
Uh-huh.
Took off no problem, just right off the ground.
Yeah, I have some.
And
some stats
how big
on the plane.
Is that plane?
Oh,
it
I can
only
tell you.
Goes about 150 feet and it takes off. Look, I know planes need room to take off, and he did not have the space to do that. But Swamp Thing was the pilot of all pilots, so maybe he's just doing extra stuff that
Swamp
we don't
Thing
know about.
Was doing some good math too, because he's like, "Well, we're only doing 207 knots.
Oh, yeah.
We should be doing this, but we seem to be dragging a little bit."
He's good.
I love the dragging. You go down to the landing gear. And it's Dave Chappelle because he ran and jumped in. That dummy or whatever they got didn't look
like
anything
no.
like Dave Chappelle.
No.
They're like, oh, there's Pinball. Like,
the other thing I chuckled at is right before that when Pinball is trying to get on the plane and he's running. It is a fake run.
It is a fake
run. And then when he falls, to me, he looks like a Muppet. Like when he falls, he just goes, and he's gone. And so
well,
I was like,
I just love that Poe throws him out and hits a car. Mm-hmm. Like, that could have hit anywhere, landed on top of a building.
What type of car did it hit?
Was it a Volvo?
It was
a beige Volvo.
Was it beige?
It was
white.
Nope, it's beige a beige Volvo. Volvo. This is part of
the
second movie of the beige Volvo trilogy.
This is the Cage multiverse right here.
The multiverse.
So. There is a
Kurt did bring up something, and we can emphasize when we're on Face Off, but our Caged In is also...
Caged In.
A little slow.
Is also... Cage is caged in every movie. He's in jail in every single movie.
Again.
He's in a jail cell
in
The Rock.
Cage is
they
caged
lock him in the cage.
In every movie.
He's in jail.
He's in a jail cell in Con Air.
Wow.
Con Air, he's in jail.
Face
and then
off,
in Face Off, he's
in jail,
has to go in jail.
Well done.
And we'll get to that. So
cages in a cage.
He's cages in a cage.
Wow.
On top of being caged in.
Wow. Good job. Good job.
Not a good job for you.
Yeah, you just got to be caged in.
Caged In.
What do you think of that?
I think you'll get it by the third episode.
I don't think I will.
Okay. I think you're doing it on purpose at this point. So
you wouldn't do that.
No, I would never do that.
I like how Baby O is on the doorstep of death the entire movie and keeps complaining that he can't get a shot and then never gets the shot. But never dies.
He got shot.
I know he got shot.
And he still didn't die.
And he still didn't die. Plus his diabetic coma didn't kick in. So he's fine. And by the way, poor Bubba. My biggest two movies in the 90s, I get shot in the stomach. All I could see when he got shot in Con Air was, Cameron, I want to go home.
Yeah.
More of your Forrest Gump crossovers. Okay. Poor Bubba getting shot again in the stomach again.
Talk about an actor that got kind of
typecast.
Typecast. Yeah. Right?
He's always Bubba. What we're going to need you to do is get shot and possibly die. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Remember what you did in Forrest Gump? Just do that again.
Just do it again. Yeah. But you get to wear a do-rag.
Yeah. You did a great job.
No, just, he doesn't have to take it off.
You get to eat snowballs.
And get diabetes.
So, the diabetes.
Yeah. So obviously, when they, towards the end of this, the climax of this movie, into Vegas. Climax, yes.
Way to catch on.
Say it loud for the back. When they get into Vegas, he crashes, obviously, the plane right into a casino. They actually crashed the plane into a casino. The Sands Hotel was due to be demolished. Mm-hmm. So they just said, yeah, you can run your plane into it. It's fine. So in real time, how many people died when he crashed that plane? Because he hit the street and then just went another 150, 200 feet into the casino. I mean, it's at least 100 people dead, right? I mean,
I don't know.
I mean, people are, look, I've been in Vegas. Kurt's been in Vegas. Have you been in Vegas?
We've been there.
That street is never not full of cars. Never. People. I mean, bumper to bumper. And there's always people on the sidewalks.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people dead there. I don't care.
But Swamp Thing, you know.
He put it down nicely.
Yeah, that's right. He's good.
He did have the wherewithal to put a helmet on.
Looks good.
Safety first.
At the end, it's spinning on the street. That's all that's left of old Swamp Thing.
No, that wasn't what was left of him yet.
No.
So he had it on in the fire truck too, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he's driving. Yep.
Safety first.
Yeah, he did. Yep.
Swamp Thing. Hey, I might be a criminal. Safety first.
That's right.
That's right.
Right? So,
No, you were talking about wrecking real planes. Did you know that the plane in that movie actually crashed?
Yeah.
In 2010. Yep. It was featured in Air America, Outbreak, and Operation Dumbo Drop.
Those are good ones.
But it really did crash.
Hey, since I know you love digging into the
minutiae
and stuff for these podcasts. Did you find out, do they even do this with prisoners in real time? Like,
I read that this is a thing.
20 of the most dangerous people on an airplane and fly them around.
Do you have the info?
It is called the Justice Prisoner and Alien Transportation System. It got started in 1995 and it was actually nicknamed Con Air.
What's that acronym?
I don't know. I don't do acronyms. I just read notes. And not well.
I don't do acronyms.
The screenwriter actually went on board a couple of times when he was doing and writing this script.
Oh, okay. So they got some factual. Oh, wow. Do you think this is what it was like?
Yeah, I imagine that there are cross-dressing guys on there dancing around.
Sally Can Dance? I got to tell you is he he's not FBI, ATF. That ATF agent they put on there is about the most inept agent. I mean, he's killed within, 30 seconds? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
Well, he gives himself up, right, doesn't he? He blows his cover, doesn't he?
He pulls his gun out. Yeah.
Because they send him in with a gun.
But he grabbed one of the other, prisoners or something.
He grabbed pinball.
He grabbed pinball and put a gun. Like, does Cyrus really care? Mm-hmm. Yeah, shoot him in the head. I don't care.
He's got a great line that I don't know if I should say it.
Something about a crackhead?
I'm going to say it. he says, you know, the next time you choose a human shield, you'd be better off not picking a two-bit Negro crackhead.
Yeah, and I like, afterward, Chappelle goes, you didn't mean that crackhead thing, did you? Cyrus, okay.
I just like how the DEA agent went ahead and waited before he pulled out his gun, not while Chappelle's running trying to let people out.
No, or set someone on fire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was behind the seat that he set him on fire. And then he's like, nope, this isn't my time.
Not my time.
No, I'm not ready yet.
He's just letting it play out.
Just, I want to see how this plays out. Yeah, maybe they'll kill each other, and then I won't have to do anything.
You got
to
give him credit for that. He let this plan
unfold.
He did. He was never nervous about it.
I don't know if that was his job at this point, but that's fine. That's the choices that he made.
The other pinball line that I like, it was right around the same time, is when they're checking the manifest and they're trying to count how many people they need to do the swap there at Carson City.
Yeah.
And they're three guys short. And he says, I don't know how to tell you all this, Cyrus, but we are three white guys short. Or as they say in Ebonics, we'd be fucked.
We'd be fucked.
Pinball's got a lot of good
lines. You want to talk about another dated reference that, if you're not from the 90s, Ebonics doesn't make a lot of sense to anybody. You're like, what is Ebonics? You have to tell your kids, what is Ebonics? Yeah. I don't know. So,
This is a line. Well, we'll get to quotes here. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Since you're so excited to go to our categories, let's get down that road. Right. It's time to save a bunny's life. So let's undo these shackles and discuss our first category. And we're going to give you a chance to totally redeem yourself. And you get to go to our first category and tell us your favorite character in the movie. Preferably someone with dialogue and or
not
lines.
Just a headstone.
How about that one?
Caged in. That's what it is.
Good timing.
Good timing.
So, my favorite character is Swamp Thing.
What? What? Nobody's favorite character is Swamp Thing.
His name is Earl Williams, by the way.
All right.
In real, like his real character name is Earl Swamp Thing Williams. No. Yeah. I picked him for a couple reasons. One, because this actor is played by MC Gainey, I believe is his name. He considers this to be his favorite character of all the roles he's played. But I picked him because he without Swamp Thing, you don't have a movie.
That's it?
You don't have a movie.
No.
He's the only one that can fly the plane. He disconnected the transponder. He can drive a fire truck. He's great with wordplay. He has a sweet mustache. He's an expert crash landing. He's got great hair.
He does have good hair.
This is a great quote. It said, Swamp Thing is an invaluable addition to this little makeshift crime syndicate. This plot wouldn't go anywhere without his help. He's the one who knows how to fly the plane. He's the one who knows little details like how to get rid of the transponder. He's also a full-blown badass willing to fight it out with it to the end. He goes all the way to the end. He doesn't just give himself up. With most of the others in Vegas, he gets in the fire truck and punches a few more times. You have to respect that. And that's from CinemaBlend.com.
That is a reputable source.
Yeah, so there you go.
So I agree. He's not. What do you think his crimes were? They talk about everyone else's crimes.
I'm
going to go with like an in.
I thought I read somewhere that he was a pilot that running drugs.
That's what it was.
There you go.
That's exactly what it was.
He's not the violent one.
No, he just was out for a good time running some drugs and just got caught.
My question. Cyrus organized all this. That's what they want you to believe. Was he sending letters to these people? Like, how do you get their, like, recommendations? Like, hey, this guy's a really good pilot. This is the guy you want. And he's just sending random letters to prisons and going, hey, I got this scheme. I'd like you to be on board. How did he put all this together?
Yeah, he had to have some sort of outside source because inside his jail cell, they had the little pictures with the holes cut out where he was going through the letters. But where those letters were coming
and
from.
And he was able to rig some sort of explosive.
Yeah.
That's pretty intense. I mean, that wasn't a small...
No.
So he had to have help.
And isn't Cyrus a doctor? Didn't they say he earned like a master's or a doctorate?
Yeah, some sort of doctorate.
And all the time he's in there. So he's technically Dr. Virus.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Virus. That sounds like a late night radio host on Drive Time Atlanta. This is Dr. Virus. We're going to get you with some girls, Motley Crue right now. Anyway, Dr. Virus,
so
that is good.
There was Dr. Goodspeed.
Dr. Goodspeed. Last episode. And now we have Dr. Virus.
Dr. Virus.
All right. Well, you know what? I will say that's better than your rock action. So I'll give that a passing grade.
Rest in peace.
There you go. Barbara Hummel. So, Kurt, who is your favorite character?
My favorite character is Garland Green, the Marietta Mangler,
yes,
played by Steve Buscemi.
Of course.
I just think he plays calm, crazy killer. Very nice.
He does. He only has like, what, 8 words in the whole movie.
Oh, no, he does.
Oh, no, he's got some really cool dialogue that when you really unpack it, it's...
He's got the whole lines about work and being...
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, he goes, what's...
real crazy.
The definition of insanity.
Who's more insane, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, he's having the tea party with the crazy... Yep. The little girl with no...
And he's got some redeeming values, right? But like,
no,
at the end he supposedly doesn't. Like after meeting with the girl, which is why he's the only redeemed one that stays out,
yeah,
and then they see him at the craps table,
no, yeah,
having a good time, he looking murdered, more normal in his
he
face.
Murdered 30 plus people. There's no redeeming.
He did before. He did wear a girl's head as a hat for three states.
Yeah. there's no redeeming that. Like, you don't get to talk to an imaginary little girl and then keep a Ken doll and go, oh, okay, I'm fine now.
That's right.
Right.
So, I have a little fan theory though, going back to your Billy Madison. I'm thinking that Garland Green is actually Danny McGrath for Billy Madison.
Perfect.
The man I called that guy.
Yeah, that guy. Remember? He called him.
He had the hit list, and Billy Madison
was on it, and he marked him out.
Billy was on them, and he crossed him off. I think he just changed his name and went for the list.
That's. I think so, too. He finished the list. He added to the list.
He did add to the list.
Because the list got pretty long.
Yeah.
But he helped Billy first. He shot.
That's right.
Okay. You know, he shot him.
That's where he
got
the taste for blood.
He did get the taste for blood. That was his first non-kill, but you get that first action.
So you think that was after?
Billy Madison was before.
Billy Madison was before.
Okay. Yeah.
Billy Madison was 93.
His killing spree was after that.
That's right.
Okay.
So he had that 3.5 year window to go on his spree.
So after he had his short fling with the maid.
That's right.
Yeah.
Maybe killed her for all we know.
We don't know.
Maybe her head was the hat. The maybe he didn't like helping her shave her armpits, so he decided, I'm just going to go ahead and do this.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Multiverse. Hey, that's pretty good. I like that. Yeah. I'm going to live on that. I think that's true.
I like that.
So,
I think there's just
a good,
go with that.
There's a good 2 year window in there. Plenty of time to kill 30 people.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No problems. So, well, my favorite is one of the easy ones, but he's just my favorite. Cyrus the Virus, John Malkovich. I love when they introduce him. They say he's 39 years old and has spent 25 years in the system. So that dude went to jail when he was 14. I just want to know what got him in jail at 14 and kept him there. Because usually once you turn 18, they have to like release you.
Well, he could have been going in and out. Some of those years could have been
they
juvie.
Made it sound like he was just in. Like he's been in prison for 25 years. Like he hasn't moved.
And he's killed, 11 different inmates?
Yeah. He just,
fellow inmates?
So he's got to have 10 more life sentences at this point. I mean, he's never getting out. But he earned a doctorate, Dr. Virus.
That's right.
He's super smart because he put this whole thing together. He's got a really clean dome. He's got a good shaved head. Some people, when they shave their head, it doesn't look good. Malkovich's head looks good. He's got that good round, that good round head. So, he orchestrates the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So you say you can't have a movie without old Swamp Thing. You can't have a movie without the virus because he sets the whole thing up. And he's got that nice back and forth with Cameron Poe. Mm-hmm. Although I question some parts. So Poe tells Johnny 23 he can't rape her because he doesn't like rapists. And then Cyrus is like, I don't like rapists either. Cyrus doesn't care about anything. Yeah. I don't understand where the morals fall in on that one. And then he's like, let's not kill the cops. Cyrus already shot cops. Mm-hmm. And then Poe tells him not to kill these cops. He's like, let's not kill them right now. I'm like, no, what? No, you just killed cops at the last stop. Like, why do you suddenly have a conscience? I guess Cameron's twisting his mind. I'm not sure.
Well, I think, that's a good example where Cyrus is all about himself, right?
Of course.
Because he says that. He describes him as the white stuff in the corner of your mouth. You know, that's what he thinks of rapists or whatever.
Yeah,
he does. And then he goes something like, but you'll do.
Yeah, but you'll do. Because you'll get me
where
I'm going.
You're just
going
to get me where I'm going. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but he won't let him commit any crimes.
No.
All right. Yeah. Even though they're shooting cops and they killed guards.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, their morals are interesting in this movie. They pick and choose where they want to be morally sound at times, particularly Cyrus. So, and I love that Cyrus has probably most of the best one-liners in the movie. He's got a lot of really good ones, which we'll talk about as we move on to the next part, which is favorite quotes.
Okay.
And Kurt, we'll let you go first. What is your favorite quote?
I got to go with when Larkin and Poe are going against Sandino's men when they're at Lerner Airfield. And they're in the little hangar with the extra jet. And
he's got a sweet roundhouse kick in that scene.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Well, he does. And then He's like, everyone's going to hear. They're going to come. You're going to have a bunch of pissed off convicts come running in here.
I love it.
And he starts putting on the silencer. And Poe just goes, well, what do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to. Oh, nope. Let's see here. And hooray for the sounds of fucking sirens.
Yep. That is. He sells that like he's really saying something profound. And you just laugh. The hooray. You got to get that accent. It just doesn't. It's not quite the same without that accent. But yeah, the hooray. For the sounds of silence is it's so stupid.
And that was followed by the roundhouse.
Oh yeah, the roundhouse.
Took out like 4 or 5 guys.
Does anybody have a better costume in this movie than Poe? Just the wife beater tucked into the jeans,
and he keeps them really fairly clean throughout the movie.
He does.
Like it gets a little grungy, but not awful. Like nothing that won't come out in the wash.
That's right.
That's fine.
You know.
Yeah. So
you throw that in, it's coming out.
Yeah. Although he's pretty grimy. At the end, like this daughter has never seen this dude in her life, mm-hmm. and he walks up covered in blood. He gives her a bunny That's covered true. In blood. He's got like marks all over his face. I mean, if you're her, I'd get behind my mom too. What am I looking at right now?
Yeah, that's a theme, and I think all three of these is we could talk the need for therapy.
Oh, there's a ton of therapy.
That little girl is going to need therapy.
Oh yeah,
the whole family's going to need counseling.
Well, not
The Rock. There's some counseling that needs to happen.
Not Monica Potter. She has no facial expressions whatsoever.
No,
she's just like Poe, Cameron, you're home. Okay, yeah.
No, she don't do it again. She needs to unpack.
Don't
some,
be that guy.
Yeah, he's carrying some baggage. She's got. Yeah, this is not going to go well.
Tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. No, yeah, okay,
she's got issues.
So okay, well we'll let Rob go.
All right.
What do you got?
Best mine, quote. I really like the one where he says, it's your barbecue, Cyrus, and it tastes good.
That is terrible. It's so good stupid.
I don't know why I like
so
that
good,
one.
It's so good, but
it's
so good.
I've got too many. But that,
it's your barbecue, and it tastes good.
I came down to that one. It's your barbecue, Cyrus, and it tastes good.
Well, I'll do my favorite in a minute. I'm going to do my son's favorite, which is an easy one, but my son Connor, he dies laughing every time why couldn't you put the bunny back in the box?
Yeah, that seems like
a... I mean, he's like, because he says it a couple times. Then after he kills him, like his remorse is, couldn't you just put the bunny back in the box?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that should have been the trailer. That should have been the trailer right there. So, but my favorite quote is probably the silliest one, but I love it. So it's when Sandino was trying to talk Cyrus out of killing him. And MC Gainey, Swamp Thing, standing next to him, smoking a cigarette. And his name's Cyrus. So he goes, Cy, like to shorten it. And John Malkovich goes, Anara, and throws the cigarette down and sets him on fire. There's no way Malkovich doesn't look at that in his movie chronicles and go, what the hell was I doing right there? Like, what happened? Where did I go wrong at this point? Cy, Anara. And I mean, he delivers it. With force.
Yeah.
Like it is something else. So I had a couple others. There's so many good ones. This Cyrus is talking to Poe, and Poe said something about his daddy. And Cyrus goes, you know what my daddy taught me?
Oh, yeah.
Poe said, what's that? He said, nothing.
Self-made man. one of the ones that I like is I want to be able to figure out a way to say this like in a group setting, like either in my house to my kids or in a classroom. But it's when Guard Falzon's on the plane. They just got on the plane. They all got strapped in. And he says, see, this kind of thing puts me in a foul mood. These rules be enforced. If there's a hint of trouble, if any of you so much as passes gas in my direction, it offends my delicate nasal passages, your testicles will become my personal property.
That is a good one. He doesn't last long, but that's a good one.
No, he doesn't last
long. I like the, sorry, boss, there's only two men I trust. One of them's me and the other's not you. So that was a Poe.
The other,
and
then, Garth Falzon one was of... He says, F you, trailer trash. And Poe says, hey, my mama lives in a trailer.
My mama lives in a trailer.
I like how Pinball introduces himself to Poe. He goes, I'm Pinball Parker, armed robber, arsonist, dope fiend. I'm a hell of a nice guy. I just got caught.
That's pretty good. I like Cyrus tells the pilot. He says, if you mention anything over the radio, the next wings you'll see will be the flies buzzing around your dead corpse.
But we were talking earlier about how Garland Green has some good lines. One, he goes, so they're talking about Billy Bedlam and to Poe, and he goes, he's a fountain of misplaced rage. Name your cliche. Mother held him too much or not enough. Last picked at kickball. Late night sneaky uncle. Whatever. Now he's so angry, moments of levity actually cause him pain, gives him headaches. Happiness for this gentleman hurts. And that's actually, I think it's good writing, whoever wrote that. So.
Well, I'll say if you're going to do a Buscemi one, I like Define Irony, a bunch of idiots dancing on a plane to a song made famous by a band that died in a plane crash.
And he's just sitting there, so calm. So calm the whole time.
I will, my last one, and we'll move on to the next category. Poe, at the beginning, he's talking to that guard, and he's the guard, the female guard says something to him, and he goes, "Well, as long as I make it home, it makes no never mind."
Oh, I wrote that in my notes at the beginning. One of my first pieces, I there said, is, makes no never hey, mind.
There is no way he thought in his head, this sounds very Southern. I know Southerners will watch this and goes, oh, he said, make no never mind. So that works. So I just, it's silly. It's all the way silly. And then, of course, the yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. It says, when he writes that letter to his daughter, because he's coming home, break out the fine china, chill the lemonade, tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree, because this boy is coming home to his ladies. Coming home forever.
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 You're going to love that. So lots of quotes. Yeah. You could do quotes forever. I think we talked earlier about the Cyrus quote where he's holding the bunny and he says, nobody move or the bunny gets it. I mean, so he's got them left and right. So, well, really good. Lots of quotes. Could talk, and you can reuse those quotes all the time in your everyday thing.
Yeah.
When you're talking to people.
All the time.
You can use the Cy Anara anytime you want to. No problems. So, well, favorite explosion and action sequence is our third category. So who would like to take that first?
Caged In.
Nice.
Nobody asked for it.
We still like it.
Okay.
That's good. Because we are caged in.
We are. Oh. Definitely caged in.
For those that don't know, it's hot in here.
It's hot in our studio.
We got a little hot. We got a little warm. Studio.
It's all good. It drives our podcasting fire.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, it's causing my butt to stick to the seat, too. It's doing a lot of things.
That they don't need to know. But yes, so
too much info.
Things are
so. Kurt, favorite explosion action sequence.
All righty, I'm going to go with after the plane crashes. It's the chase on the motorcycles, and they're on the fire trucks.
Oh,
it's just fantastic.
In the Vegas? Best part
so
of that
Vegas?
Is
in Vegas.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's really when
they,
good.
Best part of that is when they hop on the motorcycle the side by side. And they give each other a look.
They give each other a look.
Almost a head nod, like, let's do this. Let's roll.
I just like Poe as he's dangling from the ladder, doing like American Ninja Warrior stuff underneath.
Oh, yeah.
For some reason, he starts holding on with one hand.
One arm, yeah.
And grabs the other forearm with the other hand.
And he manages to stick. He skewers through his leg.
He's able to catch the spear as Cyrus is trying to kill him.
He skewered.
Breaks it in half and then skewers him through
his
leg. Ankle.
He skewered his ankle, and Cyrus is like, meh, he just keeps fighting. I don't care. No. I like Cusack filling the cab full of water. And poor Swamp Thing's just like, oh,
he
man.
He is Swamp Thing. He should be good.
He should be fine. He should like the water. He likes the water.
My favorite part, though, is the random armored truck that breaks down in the middle of the road for no reason.
No reason.
Just so when Poe jumps off the fire truck and they crash together, money can be falling from the sky.
Oh, that's right. I
forgot. So much money.
The money.
And then, all the people are just running and grabbing the money, but Poe doesn't grab any money because his morals are too good.
No.
Too good.
He stayed true.
He stayed true.
You got to give that to him. He's a changed man.
My favorite action is at the abandoned airport boneyard, that Lerner Field. So the private plane gets blown up. The cops run right into the death alley of gunfire. Cusack drives the truck to cover them. The plane somehow takes off again, as I said earlier, with a car attached to the back of it. And it just kind of takes off with no resistance after crashing it when they got there. Oh, and to get the plane in position to take off, like 10 of the prisoners just pull it with a rope. That huge plane?
Yeah, I'm
no problem.
I have issues with this. We're going to talk about it.
I mean, there's no wheels or nothing. They're just pulling it across the sand. And then MC Ganey's like, all right, get in. We're just like, we're going to go. So, but that whole sequence, the quote about that's a rock. I mean, they funnel them in. It's just there's so much going on there. And I think it's the best. That's my favorite action. Like that gas station blows up and Poe's a foot from where the explosion is, but just dives away.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I'm fine. Or he hides under the truck and there's that random old guy there. And the guy's like, don't kill me.
I'm not going to kill you.
Maybe that was the little girl's grandpa.
maybe.
That's what we'll go with.
He's like, I'm not going to kill you, old timer.
Old timer.
Old timer.
Oh, I need a, by the way, I need a syringe. A syringe out of a medical kit. I think there's one in the abandoned fire
well,
truck.
Well, first he says, drugs are no good, son. Like, he's like, no, I don't need them for drugs, you old coot.
And then he's like, I think there's one in that abandoned fire truck. I'm like, well, that's
over
convenient.
In the boneyard.
Yeah, that's convenient. That's just been sitting in there for however long. Yeah.
So I like how much propane is still left in all of those old propane tanks.
Yeah.
Just so they're all full.
Yeah, just and exploding everywhere. Exploding 5 feet from people and nobody even cares. They're just like, oh, that's fine.
Yeah. Somebody needs to check in on Lerner Field. I feel like maybe there's a lot of bad things happening there.
Yeah.
Seems like I think that's probably where the cartel is doing a lot of their work.
But, well, apparently there's a trailer park there. So
I don't know.
And a dude running in the desert. So
yeah, he just runs. He keeps running.
For one day, for no particular reason, I just started running. Hey, maybe that's part of the universe. Maybe he was going to catch up with Forrest.
He did have some comfortable shoes.
He did have comfortable shoes.
My favorite action scene is the bar fight at the beginning. I just think that's the catalyst for all this. But and then I have issues with him, the way he killed the guy. And I did some research, and that's completely a myth.
No. That's when you drive the bone in the nose into the brain?
Nope, it's never happened. Oh, it's not a thing.
But people say that you can do it all the time.
No.
I don't even think it's the first movie that said that's a thing.
No. Yeah, it's not a thing. Google it. Yeah. So many questions. Like
you
his wife was
there. You don't have to get so upset about it.
Well, he got 10 years.
He turned all of a sudden.
He got 10 years.
Yeah. Got out on good behavior, though.
His attorney was like nightmare. Garbage.
He's the worst attorney ever.
He couldn't even argue self-defense.
This seems like
his wife was there. She saw it. There was bar patrons that saw him getting picked on by the other dudes.
This is literally the easiest self-defense case in the history. I don't even think you need to have. You could have Leonardo DiCaprio Catch Me If You Can pretending to be a lawyer and get him off on this situation.
It seems pretty cut and dry.
Yeah.
But you gotta get him on the plane somehow.
Well, then the judge says you're a registered weapon.
You're a weapon. Trained weapon.
A trained weapon.
Yeah.
So I just let them stab me? Okay. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So that's a good one.
Yeah.
So the bar fight.
The bar fight.
I never understood the bar fight though. What is the end game for those three guys? He hasn't been there forever. They could have gone after the girl at any time if they wanted to assault her, but they wait until he shows up. Mm-hmm. And why? And they're really into the why we hate. Oh, you're the reason we lost Vietnam.
I was just gonna say they're still stuck in Vietnam.
Why
they're
like 30 years old military? I don't understand what's going on there. So, anyway, it's a confusing scene. But you're right. We got to get him in prison.
Yeah.
So, So that I think that's not all the action, but that's a lot of the action. Yeah, yeah. You know. So those are probably the big action scenes.
If you broke it up into scenes, right?
Beginning, middle, end.
There you go.
We got it all. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. So, well, we'll take us to category four, which is favorite vehicles.
Favorite vehicles.
And it can be anything. Beautiful. Anything used in the movie that is used as a conveyance.
Okay. Whose turn?
I'll go first.
You'll go first?
I'm going with the 1967 Chevrolet Corvette convertible. It's Agent Duncan Malloy's car, although he's kind of a jerk. I love that car, and I really love the license plate. As Kicker.
Kicker.
I love the
I gotta
as
admit
kicker.
That was my car as too. Nice. I love the as kicker, just like Juvenile's back that as up.
Yes, perfect.
From previous episodes.
Previous episodes, Rob liked to talk about backing that as up.
Back that as up.
Yeah. Hey, maybe Juvenile was watching said Con Air and went, you know what would be a good title for a song? I want to get as into it. Yeah. Do you think he's got as kicker? So obviously he wants to be ass kicker. Do you think somebody had already personalized ass kicker and that's why he had to settle for the two Z's? He went to the DMV and they're like, ass is already taken. Well, just throw two Z's in it instead.
And the kicker, yeah, that'll work. No C in the
kicker. C in the kicker.
No C in the kicker.
So it's really Kiker.
We can't say that. That's a wrong thing. Yeah. We'll go with as kicker.
We immediately regretted that decision.
Sorry immediately that. Regretted. So DMV should not have signed off on that.
Yeah. My favorite vehicle is not the Corvette.
Of course.
It is the, we're not sure what year. It's either 1949, it's between 1949 and 1954, John Deere tractor that they used to pull the plane up.
Yeah.
Exactly how the heck did a dozen or so prisoners pull a full-size C-123 out of the sand?
How did they not?
They dug it out.
Yeah.
Okay. That plane.
They
that,
showed them with shovels.
I don't care.
All right.
That plane is 34 feet tall.
Yeah.
Empty. The plane weighs between 29,000 and 35,000 pounds. Just to put that in context, a brand new 2023, 6.7 liter Power Stroke diesel V8 Ford, 500 horsepower, 1,200 pounds of torque, can tow 18,000 pounds. So this little tractor pulled a 30,000 pound plane out of the sand.
The tractor was
maybe it's because they weren't wearing shirts.
Yes.
The tractor was helping.
They were using manpower. They had the ropes.
Whatever.
How many horsepower are those convicts?
You saw how big some of those guys were. They were pretty
big.
Pissed. I mean, Danny Trejo's on board.
That's true. He's pretty strapped.
That's machete, all right? He can pull anything.
That's true. And he was a real convict.
He was a real convict.
He did real time.
Yeah, he knows what this flight's all about.
Yeah, so I mean, the little tractor that could.
I like the little green tractor.
Was just doing wheelies, trying to pull that 30,000 pound plane out of here.
Hey, I think it's fine. And I like that Cyrus doesn't help do any of it, though.
No.
Hey, go dig.
His shirt never comes off.
Go pull. Shirt doesn't come off.
All the other guys'
shirts come shirt off. Doesn't come off either. Just the wife beater.
That's right.
The undershirt. That's it.
He stays. His shirt doesn't come off.
No, he keeps it on.
And he was in good shape.
He was in good shape. Come off. I will give him that. Yeah. He was in better shape in Con Air than The Rock, and he made the choice to be naked in The Rock, but in Con Air just with the tank top. Mm-hmm. So, but it's all good. So, those are good vehicles. As Kicker is still the king of that category. So, category 5, least believable scene. Not that there are no unbelievable scenes in this movie, but let's go with what you think your least believable scene is, Rob.
Okay, I'm going to go with the scene when they jump in the helicopters. Malloy jumps in one helicopter, Larkin jumps into another, and they take to it. They're pilots, man.
So Larkin doesn't go in the helicopter. He ends up in the car driving to Lerner Field. No. Malloy and Larkin's boss jump into the helicopter.
Later, that's correct. Yeah.
They did. Yeah, you're right.
And they're giving him directions. I mean, they're saying, you know, like, switch to missiles.
Oh, yeah.
When did they become?
They're it. Yeah, they've got operational authority at this point.
Apparently.
That's it.
I mean, and I was reading up on how, you know, what it takes to fly. That's a Bell AH-1 Cobra is what the helicopter is. They said acceptance to the aviation program is very competitive. I mean, the chances that Malloy and Larkin are...
So Malloy's a badass, though. From the start of this movie, he acts like a badass.
Unless there's more going on behind the scenes and they're more than just...
Because he's like, I'm not letting the FBI take this case from me. And he's just angry from the start.
I just had a hard time going, okay, so they just hopped into a helicopter and went full combat.
You've watched the rest of what's going on in this movie, and now you're like, I don't know about this helicopter scene. Everything else has been okay up to this point.
So many questions.
But I'm going to go with right now, I'm not sure what's happening. Sure. Yeah. Right. So, all right. Kurt, least believable scene.
All right, least believable scene. I went with the Cameron Poe being convicted of first-degree manslaughter and sent to prison for protecting himself.
Yes.
Against three guys. Yeah. Doesn't use deadly force until deadly force with the knife was used upon him first.
Yeah.
And then he's sentenced to 7 to 10 years, whatever it is.
So mine ties to yours because mine's a little, you may not think of it, but it's really stupid.
Is it why he's in California?
Yeah, exactly.
And not Alabama.
He got convicted in the state of Alabama, and he got sent to state prison. San Quentin's a state prison in California. He would be in state prison in Alabama. So let's argue, he's military, maybe federal prison. Then he would have gone to Leavenworth, Kansas, somewhere like that. I just love that they sent him to prison in California to then fly him back to Alabama. It makes literally no sense. He should have been in jail in Alabama. There is no precedent to send him out to San Quentin. There's no reason this should have happened. It makes zero sense. Absolutely no sense. And I know you're not big into law.
Yeah.
But Kurt and I fancy ourselves kind of, you know, like bird lawyers.
I've watched Darren Brockovich.
Yes, I have. And I used to watch Matlock quite a bit.
You watched Law and Order.
Law and Order, Matlock.
Perry Mason.
I've watched a lot. Like, I feel...
The new Perry Mason's actually quite good.
I feel like a lawyer at this point. I've watched Liar Liar multiple times.
Oh, yeah, that's... I mean... That's like legit.
If that's not giving you good courtroom training, I don't know what else... I don't know where else it's coming from. But yeah, there's... That is... Not that there aren't other plot holes, but that is a really big plot hole. Like, why is he in California? He should never been, because then she could have come and visited him in Alabama, although he said, I don't want him to see me behind a cage or whatever he says. So, but yeah, I'm with you. He shouldn't have been convicted, but my biggest deal is where he's in jail. I don't know why he's in jail in California. It's ridiculous.
And I'm no writer. But I know. I barely speak. I'm barely a speaker. And they didn't catch it. Like the writers don't. Like it feels like that. Like an easy. Like if you're a trained writer, you're doing writers for you're writing for a movie. That you wouldn't catch that and go, oh, let's clean that up a little bit. Let's make that more. I mean, that'd be a couple sentences and a period and a comment. Okay, now it makes more sense. But we're running with it.
Again, we've watched the rest of this movie at this point. True. And you're going, they should have cleaned that up. Nothing else to clean up. I'm fine over here. Yeah. I'm fine with the dude putting on the dress and then dancing in the plane. Mm-hmm. All those things check. That's all fine. And by the way, just as a gee whiz for planes. You may not know planes, but the back of that plane was open when he does the bunny will get it. Yeah. You can't just have the back of that plane open and people just standing there with no problems. People would be getting sucked out and like shot into spots. Like the wind that would be going through there. And if that was open, it would be so loud. You wouldn't even hear anybody a foot away from you, let alone be able to just talk normal on the airplane. So
I have a question about his hair.
Whose hair?
Poe's hair.
It's great. Isn't it?
How do you?
It is fabulous. He's got the grunge thing.
V and he's got. It's kind of a mullet, and it didn't grow.
It's like a bald mullet. Like, I know. He's bald,
it didn't grow radically
either.
That's
the weirdest hair.
He went to the prison barber and was like, here's what I need.
I need. Yeah, this wasn't. Yeah, this didn't just grow out.
I need Billy Ray Cyrus, but balder.
Yeah. All
right. That was the exact instructions he gave to the prison guy, and he was like, yeah, all right, I can do that.
My hair would. That was great.
Great waterfall.
It just threw down.
And it was wet the whole time.
It was wet.
I mean, I know he got sweaty later, but at the beginning of the movie, it was just wet and it was wet and he was just wet. So,
anyway, I was just thinking about that.
All right.
Great hair.
Well, yeah. So, good least believable scenes. The one about the prison just makes no sense.
Yeah.
It's a huge plot hole.
Right? I just think of that one. They're moving them back to Alabama because they've just got done building the prison.
Yeah.
So, apparently, the old prison just
there
wasn't.
There were prisons
fit.
In Alabama.
No more prisons until they built that one.
But let's say, let's say Alabama's full. Yeah. Wouldn't you just go to Mississippi or Louisiana or one of those neighboring states?
Nope. We're going to take you clear to.
Nope. We're going to go all the way to San Quentin because San Quentin sounds like the average person would know. If you were like something state prison in Louisiana or Alabama, people would be like, what the hell is that? George Wallace.
Yeah, bad people go to St.
Quentin. Bad people go to St.
Quentin.
But
if they moved them to Mississippi, then they couldn't crash in Las Vegas.
You could crash in Mississippi. Unless swamp. Imagine that in a swamp. Swamp thing now, really relevant, right? See, fighting gators. There'd be all kinds of fun things going
on. Maybe there's more of a story plot, a storyline there with who Poe really is. Like maybe he's more
than meets the eye?
He's got more of a history. He's more trained than we realize.
I think you're thinking too much.
I'm going to assume you get what you see, and that's about it from Poe. I don't think anymore. Is there any way Poe goes home and just turns into the dad and just he's a normal guy?
No. I'm telling you, there is massive therapy that goes on here.
And what job is he getting?
He doesn't.
He has to work. She's a waitress. We can't support the kid.
No, this doesn't end well. They go home and they live well for a couple months, and then he hits the sauce.
I'm going to guess she can't even live with him because he was in the army, then he's in prison for 7 years. Like, they haven't spent any time together. No. Oh, and her pregnancy. I mean, did he come home on deployment? And
see, that's what I mean.
She was pregnant when he came back from the army.
And newly pregnant.
Newly.
Billy was very flat. When
I don't know what deployment he was on that he was only gone a couple months and then came back.
The first time he goes to discipline the kid, there's a fight. Because he hasn't been there forever, so he goes to get after her for leaving the refrigerator open, and then she's getting mad at him because.
So wait.
Don't yell at little Susie.
Yell,
you know.
No, I was thinking more. So you don't think Poe giving her a roundhouse will be appropriate?
Oh no, he
for
would.
The fridge
oh no, yeah, he'd get. Oh yeah, he's a grabber. I guarantee he's a grabber. He swatted her.
Casey, what did I tell you about the fridge? Whap.
Yeah, and then
roundhouse to
then the
wife
says, "Don't." Oh, and it's a fight because you're disciplining the child, and
you're giving her way too much energy. She's like, "Poe, don't be that guy again."
See, and there's a fight. There's no energy.
There's no energy.
Right? We don't talk about things. I'm telling you, lots of marital counseling.
It doesn't make any sense. Let's hit our bonus category.
We don't know about these.
Yeah, but you're going to know, or you should remember. So we're going to do the same exercise in the last one.
Oh, okay, good.
We're going to replace
Nick Cage.
And Malkovich.
Ooh.
Who plays those parts in the movie. And it keeps the movie just as great as it already is. So while you're thinking about that, my Cameron Poe is Keanu Reeves.
Oh.
Ooh, that'd be really good. And my Cyrus the Virus is Bruce Willis. Another good shaved head. He usually plays the hero, but I think he could be a good evil antagonist type. And then they could play off each other. And he'd deliver those one-liners just as good as Cyrus, John Malkovich, if not better.
Oh, my gosh. You got names? Okay, I'm going to, off the top of my head, Malkovich, I'm going to go with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You went right to some new stuff.
I'm going to go with him as my and then, I'm going to go with, I'm trying to think of somebody good who would be somebody like recent. Chris Evans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
As Poe?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's not cheesy enough, but he'd be too serious. Yeah. But I could see that.
Yeah.
He's got the muscle tone for it.
The muscle tone.
Yeah. Hey, you know another good, real quick, another good Cyrus, Pacino? Like, he's like, Cy, Anara. He would deliver those. Like, he would deliver those perfectly.
I'll take a flamethrower to this place.
You know, my daddy taught me nothing. Yeah. It'd be a totally different event in the movie, but I think it could... take it up to 11. So what do you got, Kurt?
I'm gonna go with a bald guy for Cyrus. I'm gonna go Bruce Willis.
I said that too. That's a good one.
Yeah, that is good.
That makes sense. I think he would fit in that.
Just the baldness.
And he's got some, his delivery's pretty good. Like he can do some pretty deadpan.
Yeah, it'd be good.
Poe. Let's see here.
Poe.
I'm gonna go out of the box a little bit and go Leonardo DiCaprio.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
He seems like he could be trying that Southern accent.
Yeah,
he did a little in Django Unchained.
He did.
And
actually, it was a better Southern accent than old boy's doing. Let's go in a pile of some white cake.
Oh, no.
I think him doing maybe a little more action, see what he's got.
Yeah.
He can do some action. I mean, look at Titanic. He had to swim.
I will not look at Titanic, and I never have.
You haven't?
I've never
seen Titanic.
So, wow.
Nor will I.
Those are
you
want to
know why? Because it won the two Oscars that this was nominated for.
You know what? I could put Pacino in Poe's role, too, and just be like, why couldn't you put the bunny back in the box? Pacino could liven this thing up quite a bit. So.
Yeah.
But those are good choices.
I like your Keanu Reeves, though.
Keanu Reeves would be good. Basically, it's pre-John Wick. He gets a little tryout.
He is like Nick Cage.
He is. He could test out that
very drony kind of. Yeah.
Unless he did it like Bill and Ted style, because then you would get a lot of, or like Matrix style. I know Kung Fu. If he does that version of it.
Put the bunny back in the box.
Put the bunny. Hey, man. Can you just put the bunny back in the box? It'd be like that, right? So. But that'd be good. Yeah, I think Keanu would sell that home.
That's good.
So. All right. Well, unfortunately, that brings us to the end of this episode of Totally 80s and 90s Recall. We hope you've enjoyed being caged in. Reliving the movie Con Air. I know we did. It was fantastic. If you like this podcast, please hit that subscribe button and share it with a friend. And head on over to Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And leave us feedback and 5 stars, which will help the show grow. And Rob likes to hear that he's doing good. So we got to keep him motivated. Mm-hmm. Rob and I love hearing from our listeners. So please leave us a message on Instagram, Twitter, or our website, which are all included in the show notes. You can also email us at 80s90srecall@gmail.com with comments or show ideas you may want to hear in the future.
What's our homework next time?
You know what our homework for next time is.
Well,
part 3, the finale.
The finale.
Sadly, we'll be finishing up being caged in by reviewing the one and only spectacular action
caged
drama.
Caged in.
Face Off. This one has not only Nicolas Cage, but also John Travolta. Any preview on this one, Rob?
It's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We won't spoil it.
They trade faces.
Oh, you spoiled it.
I don't know what else to say. So, oh, that's so much deeper than that.
It's so much deeper.
I actually found that I got more. This one you could unpack a little bit.
Okay.
I think so. There's a little.
Yeah. I don't think so. But yeah, I want to see you try. I want to see you unpack that. Yeah. So, well, we'll thank Kurt again for being here. And you'll be joining us on our final episode of Caged In coming up next week.
Son of a gun.
So, Rob, you got
Caged
anything else?
Caged In.
Anything else?
I got nothing.
Fancy goodbye?
Caged In.
That's my goodbye.
Fancy goodbye?
No fancy
goodbye. No fancy goodbye. All right, we'll see you later.
Caged In.
Now you might be overdoing it.
Let's make up for the 50. Yes.